Call the House Rules Committee to order. It is 4:35. President Vice Chair Olson, Speaker Chenault, Representative Osterman, Representative Gatto, Grunberg, Tuck, and Chair Johnson. We have two bills before us today. SB 1, the Board of Education Early Development and Annual Report by Senator Davis. Representative Dick, can we come up and speak to the amendment, please? And Representative Faircloth, would you like to join him at the same time, or are you going to speak separately? Hang on just a second. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to
bring the bill.
Move and adopt. You got the bill in front of us?
We have the bill in front of us.
Okay, so you'd like a motion to...
CS for Senate Bill Number 1.
Now you're bringing something over here, okay. Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt Amendment Number 1 to CS for SB 1 Education.
Does everybody have that amendment in front of them?
I'm sorry.
And that is designated 27LS0001B1. Representative Dick, welcome. So can you explain Amendment Number 1?
I'm going to object for discussion.
Okay, I'll object for discussion as well, so thank you.
I would object to your objection.
You object to my objection? I'm objectionable. Representative Dick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm, recently Japan experienced a devastating tsunami, and I've experienced a tsunami lately, too, but it's in a very positive fashion. Quite recently, I mentioned the whole changes in education, other possible scenarios, and as I'm... been in this building, I've talked to other people and regarding a theme-based education, and all of a sudden I've gotten phone calls from all over the state, from Togue, from Kotzebue, from the YK Delta, all over the Heritage Center. Everybody's calling me and saying, we want to get onto this, we want to get involved in this. So good decisions are made with good facts, and so this amendment suggests, Mr. Chairman, that that there be a task force appointed that would the purpose would be identify what's going on nationwide, identify what's already going on happening in Alaska using theme-based model, take as much public testimony as possible, and make recommendations as to what the state of Alaska might do regarding the possibility of creating a parallel model to that already existing in the DED. The purpose would never be to supplant or take place of that which exists, but maybe to come up with an alternative model that might better educate students, particularly in the rural areas, particularly in the intervention districts. So the amendment calls for January 1, 2012, a report will be given to the Senate Education Committee, House Education Committee, and Department of Education. And there would only be three members on that task force, a member from the Senate, a member from the House, representative from the Senate, chosen by the Senate President, a representative from the House, chosen by the Speaker, and the House Chairman, Education Chairman, which is myself, and that was suggested because I'm the one with the fire in my belly for this.
Thank you. Are there questions of the sponsor of the amendment? Representative Gutenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Am I right, Representative Dick, that the task force consists of a total of three people?
Total of three people, sir. Excuse me, through the chair, Representative Grunberg, three people.
Mr. Chair, I would like to offer a clarifying amendment to the amendment. I was unclear, and we talked a little bit earlier about this in my office, whether the member of the House of Representatives was appointed by the Speaker was a person, and whether the chair of the House committee was another person, or whether the member of the House was appointed jointly by the Speaker and the chair of the House committee. It's a little bit ambiguous, and I would offer a clarifying amendment, Mr. Chair, amendment to the amendment. On line 13, after the word Senate, insert a comma, delete the word and then insert a comma after representatives on line 14. So it would read, consists of one member of the Senate appointed by the President of the Senate, comma, one member of the House of Representatives appointed by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, comma, and the chair of the House committee having jurisdiction over education. I think that makes it very clear. It's a conceptual.
We will not do a conceptual amendment. Make sure it's right, Representative Grunberg. We're not
going to
do conceptual.
It is.
Okay, it is right. So would you read the line as it's stated? First of all, would you move the amendment?
I move the amendment to the amendment.
And I'll object just so that you can read it again.
Okay. Line 13 would be appointed by the President of the Senate, comma, delete the word and, continuing then, one member of the House of Representatives appointed by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, comma, and the Chair of the House Committee.
Is everyone clear on the amendment? Representative Gatto.
I'm clear on the amendment, but I have an amendment to the amendment.
You can only do an amendment to the amendment once. So I'd entertain a second amendment, but I'm not going to amend an amendment.
Okay.
So I will remove my objection. Are there any other objections to amendment number one to amendment number one? Hearing none, amendment number one to amendment number one passes. Representative Gatto.
Sorry, yeah, this is amendment number two. I'll move amendment number two.
And I will object.
And on line 14, following the word representative and, I would want to clarify that there is a third member and not a third member being the chair of the House committee having jurisdiction over education. And I'm a little concerned over sometimes what if we had a joint members or if the...
are you talking about a joint co-chair?
Co-chairs, that's what I meant.
Then that would be up to the speaker to appoint one of those two.
I just wanted to clarify that there was a third member.
I believe by the comma and the and, it's very clear that there is a member of the President of the Senate, House of Representatives, and the committee member. I believe it is clear.
All right. I'll withdraw my amendment.
Thank you.
To the amendment.
Thank you. Amendment number two to amendment number one has been withdrawn.
Mr. Chair.
Representative?
Just one question to the, maybe to Representative Dick. Is the Senate going to be okay with having two representatives and only one senator?
Representative Grunberg, to the chair.
Maybe that's an improper question.
I think that is an improper question because you're asking what's going to happen. They will have an opportunity to concur or not concur on this when it goes back to them. And my understanding from the sponsor is that she is fine with this on her side.
Good.
And
that's all
so,
I need.
And she has read it, and we conversed, and she gave her blessing to it, the way it is written.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure this could be good.
Thank you. And I will not try to predict what the other body will do. If I could, I would. Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Rules Committee, Representative Dick, Representative Jewell, myself, and Representative Herron, are in full support of the amendment that's before you. Representative Jewell did have conversations with the members from the other body. The considerations were that we have had rural schools as well as urban schools that have graduation rates that could be improved upon. We've had litigation that rural schools are not provided enough resources by the Department of Education in controversy. This amendment seeks to remedy that by going into to look across the world and around our nation to see if a theme-based proposition might do well in an Alaska environment. If you recall, Mr. Chairman, we had a presentation about 2 years ago from several tribal organizations when they took on the issue of smoking inside of rural communities. They took on that health initiative and were successful in reducing smoking in a particular population. They asked us at that time if we would look at a different model of education and go outside of the box in thinking about how we might invigorate and engage students in a meaningful way to understand why and how to apply mathematics and other, one might say, Western education system values into a more culturally sensitive model. This task force is to look again across our nation, around the world, to see if there are models that would better serve as an intervention tool to help kids throughout the state of Alaska be successful. With that, I urge your support, and I don't know if Representative Jewell has joined us here, but we have been working together through both bodies to try to make sure that we have something that everyone will be happy with in the end. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
With that, I will go to public testimony. Do we have anyone online who would like to testify? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on this? Hearing and seeing none, we will close public testimony. Is there a committee discussion?
Real quick.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I really like this vision. I think it's an excellent vision. I think whenever you can engage students and get them to understand the relevancy of what they're learning to what they do on their lifestyles and in their culture, has huge impacts. I just want to implore that as we go through with this task force, that they try to find ways, because I know we're talking about merit-based scholarship programs also, figure out ways they can get credit to apply with the math and science that they end up learning from these. Just try to through the talks, try to come up with ways that we can do that. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Chairman.
Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I support the change that we made today, and I've had a number of different meetings with Representative Dick and quite a few other people in reference to the potential of having theme-based education. And I've made several comments over time about how I thought that there was a problem with our current educational system that's not providing the number of graduates that we thought should be there. It appears to be low in a number of different areas, and I think that this gives us the opportunity to try something a little bit different because, again, the current system had not been working or is not working. With that, I really applaud Representative Dick and those who have been pursuing this and bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Austin. Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Is the term theme-based education a legal term, a common term? Is there other things like core-based education and other-centered education or some things that are possibly conflicting with this term unless this term is a well-recognized term?
Representative Gatto, through the chair, amongst us educators, we all know what it means. I'd have to do my homework on that to see if there was any conflicting term. But for us people who've been in education for three, four decades, it's a very well-defined term.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments from the committee? What would be the will of the committee? Representative Osterman.
Thank you. I would move CS for Senate Bill 1, Education 27LS0001-V as amended from committee with individual recommendations.
And zero fiscal votes.
And zero fiscal votes.
Thank you. Are there objections?
Well, Jack, let me just ask a question. When we say zero fiscal notes, there is money in here for travel and per diem. Is that something that should go on a fiscal note, or is that separate?
Representative Gatto, this will require some money, but that's being handled in a separate piece of legislation that is sitting in finance right now.
Got it.
So will you remove your objection?
Oh, I'm sorry. I will remove
Thank
my
you.
Objection.
Hearing no other further objection, SB 1 has passed out of committee. That brings before us the CS for House Bill number 104. I believe there is an amendment. Representative Chenault, will you offer that amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt amendment number 1 to CS for House Bill 104, Finance.
And I'll object for discussion. We have with us from the department, Diane Behrens. Will you join us and speak to the amendment? Okay. Commissioner, welcome, and if you'd identify yourselves for the record, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Diane Behrens. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education.
Mike Hanley, Commissioner for Department of Education and Early Development.
Welcome, Commissioner. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment before you today is to remove language that was added to the bill to provide an alternative avenue, if you will, for eligibility for the scholarship program. The avenue would be for individuals who have achieved a GED. They have not remained in high school and gotten a diploma from an Alaska high school, and requires that the department provide alternative standardized tests that would apply to these individuals, and allows the department to require that some or all of the otherwise required curriculum would be completed by these individuals. The other change that the amendment does is remove language that would allow in perpetuity for individuals who attended a school in Alaska but did not complete the required core curriculum to apply for a waiver or additional time to complete that program. In each of these cases, we believe that the there is a dilutive effect of leaving these changes in the bill. You'll recall that the objective of the Alaska Performance Scholarship was to incent students to do the things that will take them on a most direct route to post-secondary education and career readiness, and that is taking a core curriculum in high school and completing a high school degree, working hard to learn that subject matter, and then scoring well on preparatory tests for entrance tests for college. So the concern is that having an alternative route that is generally less successful dilutes the program, and so we're asking that that language be removed. The other piece regarding the schools not providing the required curriculum, we believe that is unnecessary. Currently in regulation, the State Board of Education has provided an opportunity for individuals who attend a school in Alaska who do not offer the courses to, for the next 2 years, have a grace period during which they can complete that curriculum. The concern about putting the allowance in permanently is that it really reduces the sense of urgency by schools and, in fact, the Department of Education, the commitment to make sure that all of the schools in Alaska within a two-year period of time are able to offer the critical courses that are necessary for success in post-secondary education and eligibility for the scholarship.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Any questions for me? Then is there anything keeping someone from moving out of state, getting a GED, and then coming back to the state and getting basically a scholarship?
Mr. Chair, unless the amendment to remove this language carries, there would be nothing. There's no stipulation that says where that GED must have been obtained, when it would have been obtained, what period of time after the GE was obtained that they would try to qualify for the scholarship, so it's really quite open.
So it would open this program up to out-of-state students?
That's correct.
Okay. Legal aliens?
Off the record, Representative Gatto. And that is certainly a point, but anyone even from another country?
That is certainly correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, not that that's a bad thing, but I wanted to clarify what you had said. No questions of, and hearing, I'm sorry, Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So make sure I understood this correctly, that we're referring to the GED process, that there is no residency requirement. There would be no residency requirement in the bill if we were to adopt the GED portions?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, the residency requirement that is in place is twofold. The having received a diploma from an Alaska high school, and that you meet the residency requirement, and it is cited in the bill as AS 0110055. That's a relatively modest residency requirement. I believe it's 30 days residence, but it's the nexus between the having a high school diploma from an Alaska high school as well as that residency. The discussion around that provision last year when the program was approved was that we wanted to make sure that if we have a student who qualifies, who graduates from high school, meets all the qualifications, and then travels for a period after that, that they not be delayed once they return to the state to be able to access their scholarship. You may recall that they only have 6 years from the date of graduation to utilize their scholarship. So it creates an urgency for those individuals to move quickly from high school into post-secondary education. That is that rapid transition does heighten the likelihood for success at the post-secondary level.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. I'd like to recognize that the Representative Seaton, Guerra, and Faircloth have joined us, and I don't see anyone else. Thank you. Any additional questions? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Chair. The six-year limitation, if a person is deployed for 4 years, would those count against the person?
Through the Chair, Representative Gatto, there is a provision for someone who is in military service to extend that period of time.
By the amount of time that they are out of the country or by the amount of time that they are in the military?
Through the Chair, Representative Gatto, in the military, their period of service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Osterman. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, just clarifications for if this Section 4 stays in the bill and we don't amend it out today, is it your testimony that it should say on, say, line 13, a general education development certificate, just on page 3, from an Alaskan school?
Through the Chair, Representative Osterman, there may be a number of changes that would be needed if this amendment does not pass and this is kept in here. There's, as I indicated, there's no time frame within which they must get the GED, so we don't have any idea of what age these individuals would be. There's no trigger to say what period of time they would have to use the scholarship if they subsequently. There are a lot of pieces that would need to be addressed if this language remains in the bill in order to make it a parallel condition to those who receive their high school diploma from an Alaska high school.
Mm. Follow-up, Representative Ostrom, are you going to noodle that for a second?
I think
yeah, Representative Tuck? I'm sorry. Representative Tuck?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, so currently, if someone gets their GED and leaves our school system, let's say leaves the school system for a few months, gets their GED, but decides to return back into our school system and get their diploma, is that, so far as we know, allowed?
Through the Chair, Representative Tuck, it is. Under the operation of existing statutes, as long as a student has left the system without a diploma until the age of 20, they are entitled to return to the public education system and complete the requirements for a diploma and receive it free of charge.
Follow-up, Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And when and is only through public education can you get a diploma, or are there other ways to get a diploma?
Through the Chair, Representative Tuck, there are certainly private institutions in the state. They're provided for under the scholarship program. Also, if you're participating in a homeschool program, there is a process for assessing the program of study to ensure that it meets the standards of the program and qualify. So it is not simply a public education. I reference that only in that someone leaving the system is entitled to return to the system at no charge in the public system. If they choose to go to a proprietary institution or a private school, they can certainly elect to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Grimberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Behrens, you were saying that there would be a number of things focusing on. It sounds to me like we're dealing with the bill rather than the amendment at this point.
Well, I'm not sure that we can separate the two.
Oh, that's okay. That's
you
what
know,
I
just don't know how there are certain this amendment changes the substantive nature of the bill, and so I think it's appropriate to address that.
That's great. I just want to be sure. Okay. Looking at what it sounds like you were addressing in a minute ago, Ms. Behrens, in Section 4, that there would have to be a bunch of details that have to be worked out. but it looks to me like under the language here that says to demonstrate high academic performance for eligibility under this section, the department may require a student various things. It sounds to me like this plus your general regulatory authority would give you the authority to flesh this out. This is just a general grant of authority within these broad goals, isn't it?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I am not sure there is enough explicit detail in here. It really changes the nature of the program. It broadens the program beyond the scholarship program with the intent to deliver certain results through the educational system, to transform the educational system. I couldn't speak to whether or not there is, in the totality of statutes, that there is enough authority to add all of that additional requirement in regulation.
But you're not, through the chair, you're not able to state to the contrary either?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, no.
And I would guess, and this may go to the commissioner, as I recall, Title 14 gives the Department of Education and the commission as well, as I recall, broad regulatory authority, does it not? Aren't there some generally broad regulatory enabling statutes?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, yes, it does.
Thank you.
Any other questions? With that, I will withdraw my objection to the amendment.
I will interpose an objection.
And there is an objection. Is there, you want to discuss it or you just want to vote?
Well, may we just go off the record for one moment, please? Take a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Before we go to thank you, Commissioner, do you have anything to add before we go further? Thank Representative Guerra.
This is on the amendment.
On the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Representative Lescarra, District 23. Try and be as quick as possible as I can on this. Without this amendment, there were a number of problems with the bill. If you're in a rural district or a district that does not have the required courses, I know the department has promised a two-year waiver, but after that two-year waiver is done, if the schools don't have the proper courses, kids aren't going to get the scholarship. You are not allowed to go to a rural school that doesn't have the courses, graduate, and then come back and take those courses later on. There's no provision in the law right now. That's why this amendment is needed. And the provision that allows you to graduate until age 20, well, if you've graduated from a rural school that doesn't have the proper courses, you can't then matriculate in some other school that does have the courses later on. You can't come back. It's done with. You're not entitled to the merit scholarship. So if you're concerned that the many school districts that don't have the required courses won't have them within 2 years, you should adopt this amendment. Because otherwise, we're going to discriminate against those students who are high academic achievers but don't have the right courses in their schools. For folks who obtain a GED, or for folks who don't have the courses available to them, we've granted the commissioner broad authority. He can do any of a number of things. He can provide that minimum test scores be achieved to show that the student is of high academic achievement. If he doesn't want to do that, he can require that some or all of the core curriculum be taken after graduation or after you get a GED. Right now, the law does not let you take those courses after graduation. So that's what's unfair to the rural students. Or the commissioner can adopt other criteria the commissioner determines will demonstrate high academic achievement. On the issue of whether or not this would allow students from other states to come in here and grab the scholarship money, you could easily say an Alaska GED and an Alaska school, so that we're talking about Alaska students. At some point, you run into the same problems that every other state runs into, which is the United States Supreme Court will not let you discriminate against out-of-state residents for more than a year. But you could say an Alaska GED or an Alaska school. That would be a pretty easy fix to make sure that somebody with an outside GED didn't come up here. But to do what? To take the core courses afterwards? So I'm not so sure how big a problem that is. But right now the bill is flawed. The bill is flawed because there are very bright people who get GEDs, and there are very bright people in rural schools who won't have the courses available to them. The testimony is conflicting as to whether or not some of these rural schools or all of these rural schools will be able to get the courses that are required under the merit scholarship, and it's very likely that for some rural schools, if they're going to hire a trig teacher and a teacher that can do 4 years or 3 years of math and science, if they're going to hire a teacher like that, they're going to have to fire a teacher that teaches something else. That's just the way it's going to have to work. It's going to be a problem. So we think the amendment works, and we're also we will leave this to the committee, but that was the intent of the amendment. It passed 7-4 in the Finance Committee. There was substantial support.
Representative Garrett, as you stated on the floor, this is an independent committee.
That's true.
And we will vote up or down after everybody's heard their arguments, and we're part of the process. Is there anyone else while we're here? Representative Faircloth, you've heard this. Would you like to speak to this, or Representative Seaton, either or both of you? If we're going to allow liberties, we might as well allow liberties. I think this is an important issue, and I think we want to vet it thoroughly, and we want to make sure that we do the right thing. Well, thank you. I may have to reconsider it, Max. Thank you. Would you please put yourself on the record? And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Paul Seaton, District 35.
Go ahead. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Anna Faircloth, Eagle River, Alaska.
The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm coming forward because I was the chair of the Education Committee for the prior 2 years when we developed the scholarship program. We had somewhere between 11 and 14 hearings on the bill. At least at three of those, we went into detail on trying to figure out about incorporating GEDs and how that would work and whether that was consistent with the program that was being developed. The program was developed primarily to not just reward students, but also to change the school districts, providing and the programs that they offer. The idea that some schools might not be offering programs, so rather than forcing them to change and offer very rigorous curricula, to give a waiver around that, defeats the very purpose of what the Merit Scholarship was really doing, and that's trying to change the K-12 education system. So it becomes very difficult, and in the, if I might expand beyond the amendment, the bill that's here this year wasn't establishing the program, but what it was doing was trying to reach funding, and that included two things. One is Alaska Advantage, which is for the non-traditional student, for the GED student, to give them access, and the Merit Scholarship Program, which is the portion that gives for the rigorous curriculum, meaning that kids are going to have to take those rigorous, make decisions up front and ahead of time, and take those rigorous curriculum as well as scoring acceptably high on the tests. That's those ACT tests. So the purpose is not just to say that you can score high on a test. The purpose is, and the data has shown, that what leads to completion of college is taking a rigorous curriculum in high school, not just being an A student in high school. And so that is the purpose behind this, and I can just say that the Education Committee, working for many hours on this, trying to incorporate GED, found that we couldn't do it without diluting the program, the Merit Scholarship Program. And so that's why it has now come forward to you as a bill that has two separate mechanisms, Alaska Advantage for non-traditional students and the merit system through the diploma only. System. So thank you. I just wanted to let you know what we've done in education.
Thank you. We appreciate that background. Representative Faircloth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Faircloth. Mr. Chairman, I did not speak in House Finance. That doesn't matter, but I wanted to come down and make sure that I spoke today to my objections regarding the amendment that was adopted. First, I would like to associate my comments with Representative Seaton, who has just spoke. It was my belief that the merit scholarship, beyond the merit and what Representative Seaton just spoke to you about, was about keeping kids in school. That the proposal was that you would stay in school, that you would take that more rigorous curriculum, and that you would be there at the end. In turn, improving graduation rates, in turn, improving the opportunity that once that student reached college, that they could be successful. In section number four, what we have now that is a duplication is that we do allow the Commissioner of Education to make changes if curriculum isn't offered in other communities or other schools, but providing an opportunity for that curriculum to be developed and be provided for students. That curriculum does not have to be provided in a classroom that we know it today. It could be provided technology-wise. There are teachers around the world that are teaching math at higher levels that you can access by a computer or other sources than we have currently in all schools today. So with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it does alter the merit portion of the scholarship that I believe was the intent of the original legislation. As has been described, there are two components, and we try to address all needs. Under your consideration for GED, when we talk about school districts, there are other opportunities to obtain those GEDs. You can obtain those from the Department of Labor now, and we're just now starting to track that. So the amendment as it exists today creates conflict inside of the current code, as well as a conflict in what the original legislation was trying to accomplish. And with that, I would ask you to remove Section 4 from this document.
And I believe that is the amendment before us. Any further discussion? Representative Gatto.
Just a question. When Representative Garrow was discussing this bill with us, he referred to he supported the amendment, he liked the amendment, but I think he was referring to Section 4 of the bill, because we have an amendment in front of us which deletes Section 4.
For clarification, and I don't want to put words in Representative Faircloth's mouth, I think she's referring to the amendment that was made in Finance, not the amendment before us. The amendment is before us is to remove Section 4, so I think that's what they were speaking against.
And another Section 2.
That's correct, and another Section 2. Any other questions? Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to come down. Any other discussion? I'm going to go to public testimony now. Thank you. Is there anyone online who wants to testify? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify? Hearing and seeing none, we will close public testimony. That brings the amendment back before us. Representative, do you want to maintain your amendment, or do you have something you want to maintain your objection?
I'd like to maintain my objection. Okay. I have nothing to add to the debate.
Okay. Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the state of Alaska has a case.
Is it to the amendment?
It is to the amendment.
Okay.
Yeah, it is to the amendment. Because the amendment is requiring that somebody has a diploma. And that just simply having a GED wouldn't qualify you, even though you may have been able to get some of the coursework out of the way, even though you may have the grades without having that diploma, you won't be eligible for this scholarship program. But I wanted to speak on some comments that were made regarding this being a twofold purpose of this bill. One of them is to reward those that take those rigorous classes, that meet the grade, and get a diploma, and allow them a scholarship. The other is to bring up our education system up to a standard where we're turning out students that are concentrating more math, technologies, sciences, and so on and so forth, which I love that vision. I think that's an excellent vision. It's something that we need to do. I know that we have a court case against the state of Alaska right now, Moore versus State, where we're having some difficulties even without the science and math requirement. And I don't know how long this lawsuit's been going on. I think it's been since 2007 at least, I believe. And we haven't been able to meet without this requirement, meet those needs. And one of the concerns that the original sponsor of the amendment in Finance had said was, you know, some of these schools in rural Alaska may not, within the two-year grace period this bill allows, may not be able to bring their curriculum and bring their standards up to par during that time period. And I fear that we're going to end up with another Moore versus State case against the state of Alaska by only allowing, because there's no fault to the students, but the district is not able to bring those courses effectively to their area. So when in looking at this amendment further, and I mean looking at the existing language in Section 4 further, and after Representative Gruenberg had asked the department, you know, don't we give them a lot of leeway to do the regulations? I would like to see the department try to find a way to be able to make that work. And, you know, we have mentioned some scenarios out there, but I think there's probably going to be a lot more different types of scenarios that we can still work on tightening it up, because we want to twofoldly reward those students that are that are following the governor's vision, which I really appreciate, taking more math, science, technologies, because that's how you advance your society, is through that. And secondly, is being able to bring our schools up to grade. So I'm still weighing this in a little bit. I would like to just let other people speak.
Thank you, Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first I want to clarify that I have not supported the scholarship program since we've been discussing it for the last few years. I've all felt that it doesn't address some of the rural areas of the state of Alaska as well as it should. This amendment removes the language that was put in finance, which I think, if we're going to have a scholarship bill, makes it language that actually helps some of the students that are out there that need the kind of help that this would give them. I also agree, as Representative Tuck, that the language in here, adopt regulations to provide for an eligibility of a student. I think that clearly says that the department has the ability to make the regulations, and obviously the intent of the whole bill and how the bill is written lays out some of the standards that they can refer back to in the regulations and how they expect this section to be implemented. And with that, I am going to oppose the amendment to remove this section.
Okay, thank you. Any other Representative, any other? Absolutely, go ahead.
Thank you. I respect the former chair of the Education Committee and his testimony. And this was the same thing that the commissioner said to us privately earlier this afternoon, that there are two purposes of the scholarship program. One is to encourage the students by providing money. The other is to encourage schools to provide better curriculum so that the students would become eligible for the money. Unfortunately, it appears that the twin goals are becoming somewhat conflicted. And this is one way of attempting to resolve the conflict. It would seem to me that with all the resources at its disposal, the great state of Alaska should find some way within the broad regulatory authority that they have, and that's expanded even under this bill, to encourage the school districts to provide more educational opportunity for the students. The remedy isn't to make it harder for the students. There is a laudable goal of encouraging the school districts to improve their curriculum. But I don't think this is the way to do it. And that's why the language that was put in finance is so equitable. Because it doesn't punish the students, but it gives the regulatory authority to the department to find another way to encourage the schools to improve their curriculum. We shouldn't be punishing the students. We should be encouraging the department to come up with other methods. Certainly, this isn't the only way of doing it. I don't want to see the students harmed by this. And I strongly support the funding or whatever is necessary to the department and to the school districts to help them improve the situation, but not by harming the students.
Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and forgive me because I haven't been involved in education for a few years. And maybe she could just nod her head, but Diane, can a person who has a GED apply for an Advantage scholarship?
For the record, that was an affirmative response in case you couldn't pick it up on the microphone.
And so my concern is that there isn't a way that these students with GEDs, if that's the people that we're concerned about, have the ability to be able to help fund their scholarships. And, Mr. Chairman, could I know it's probably not right, but could I bring Diane up for just a second?
Absolutely, certainly.
And Diane, I hate to put you on the spot because I don't remember the numbers, but a few years back when I was in finance, we were talking about the Advantage program and putting more money into it to help kids with their education. If my memory was right, there was a percentage of kids coming out of high school that got the Advantage grants, but the percentage that I found that was intriguing to me at the time, and maybe it's changed, that more people from the age of 25 to 35, more of that money in that Advantage program was going to that age group versus the age group coming out of school. And I think I tried to make the same argument at that time. I thought that the program was designed to help kids coming out of high school to be able to further their education. And while I was concerned that people that were older, 25 to 35 and on up, had an opportunity, what I found was that most of that money was going to not the kids that we're talking about, the kids coming out of high school, but it was going to young adults and even older adults in furthering their education. Nothing wrong with that, said that, but it wasn't doing what I thought it should be doing. And so, I mean, I think we muddy the water by continuing to cram all these together and not having the programs out there. This was originally set up to be a scholars program. And I echo your concerns about rural Alaska not being able to have the curriculum in those school districts to be able to get those kids up there. But with that program, we've got to try to strive to have those kids get up there. If we continue to say, you don't have to do anything else, but you can apply for this grant over here because you didn't do well in school, what incentive are we giving the kids? And I think that's what the original intent of the scholars program was supposed to be, and we've muddied it down because it's either our fault because we haven't put enough money into the Advantage program to take care of those kids that are in that range. But, you know, so I don't have the answer. I just think that we muddy the water, and Diane, if I'm real far off, bring me back to reality, if you would.
Through the chair, Representative Chenault, you're not misremembering at all. That is, in fact, what occurs. The Alaska Advantage Education Grant is needs-based. There is a substantial portion of students in Alaska who are non-traditional, that is, over the age of 22. The average age of our grant recipient has varied over the years between 28 and 31 years of age. So that's who those funds have gone to, and as you mentioned, as a function of funding, if more funds go into that program, then you can get deeper into the list of eligible students, which gets you down to the younger students who typically, because they don't have families to support, have lower costs.
Sorry, and we've strayed a bit of field here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
That's quite all right, but I do want to get back to the amendment at hand. We have amendment one before us. Is the objection maintained? The objection is maintained.
For the record, yes, it is.
It is. Would the Secretary call the roll? And the issue before us is, shall amendment number one pass?
Chair Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Grunberg.
No.
Representative Tuck.
No.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Osterman.
No.
Representative Gatto.
Yes.
Representative Olson?
Yes.
4-3.
With that, amendment number one is passed. That brings the bill before us.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We just discussed earlier and moved the bill that was amended to begin theme-based education in rural Alaska. And, you know, a theme that I've been really concentrating on when I was a board member of the Anchorage School District School Board was career and technical education. I mean, that in itself, in a way, is a theme. And the merit-based scholarship program does allow, through academic achievement, two career paths. People can either go to college or they can go to career and technical education, voc-ed, whatever you want to call it. One of the problems that I see with this is that if a student wants to pursue a career path, for example, wants to be an electrician, in the high school level, takes classes at King Career Center out of the Anchorage School District, and takes construction electricity classes, unfortunately, because of the competition of how much time you have in high school and because of the requirements of having, you know, a lot of math, a lot of science, the class that he may be taking as a construction electrician will not apply towards the science and math. And it all has to do with this term that we have called qualified teachers. There has to be a qualified instructor to be able to teach that class before they get the science and the math credit for that. And I know there's been discussions around the building and talks about potentially having a math teacher partnering with that electrician teacher to be able to get those credits to, or a science teacher to be able to allow that student to have those credits, but that's doubling up teaching over one student or one class. And when we talked about theme-based education earlier, that's the reason why I wanted to point out that let's try to figure out ways where students, especially in rural Alaska, if they happen to have theme-based education, or no matter where they're going, if they're doing career and technical education.
President Tuck, is this discussion on this bill?
On this bill.
Okay, just checking.
And just a comment. I wanted to throw the comment out there that I hope we can find ways to overcome that, where they just can't, you know, where students who want to take courses going down to career and technical education, because my understanding, this bill allows them to be able to apply those scholarships and those career paths to be able to do that. And now that we were talking about theme-based earlier, that those classes will be able to be applied as well.
Thank you, Representative.
Quick comment.
Is there further discussion? Hearing none, what is the will of the committee? Representative Chenault?
Mr. Chairman, I would make the motion to move CS for House Bill 104, Finance, number 27-GH-189-3/E, as amended out of committee with attached fiscal notes.
Point of order.
Mr. Chair, this is a question. I believe it is permitted under Mason's and the uniform rules. I'm going to put amend on it with a little asterisk, and the asterisk will say adopt finance CS. I think that is permissible for me to do that, is it not?
I think that is permissible, and your point of order is noted. Anything else specifically on the point of order?
No.
We do have an amendment or a motion before us.
I'm not objecting. I've just raised the point of order.
Okay, so is there objection to moving the bill? Hearing none, HB 104 moves out of committee. Is there any additional business to come before the committee? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.